Well, joining me in this discussion on assessment one is Burhan from Melbourne, and thank you for doing that, Burhan. I hope you have some questions, and if you don't, that's all right as well. But this session, which I'm recording and I'll upload to Moodle, is to talk about business model deconstruction. And just by way of introduction, I'm Malcolm Johnson. I am the unit coordinator in this unit. I have a PhD in behavioral finance, and I've used that to develop a couple of very successful businesses, which I then sold at different times. So I'm very, very aware of the need to understand what it is that you're designing right from the start. And while you won't have all the answers when you're designing something from scratch, from the start, it certainly directs your attention to aspects that you need to know more about. And what I've found is that when you have a prepared mind, in other words, you have the questions that you believe you need answers to, then it's amazing how those answers start to emerge from conversations or information you've seen, or from website search, or from a library search, and from discussions with your lecturers on your various campuses. So I encourage you to embrace this unit and the assessments because they have incredible practical value. I mentioned to my distance students another book that you might find useful, and I've met the author once or twice, and his name is Tom McCaskill. He's a professor in entrepreneurship. He has self-published a book called The Strategic Sale, and I came across that book as a result of listening to Tom, and I used the elements in that to achieve better than market sale price for the businesses that I developed. So I really encourage you to use the literature, use the books I've mentioned, use the web links in the various weekly sessions to inform your mind to then identify how can you grow something which is going to give you commercial value. Okay, so I'm going to go straight down into the business model deconstruction. This is assessment one. And I will take you, all going well, into the components. So hopefully I won't lose you. Very good. Okay, so I clicked on here, if you're not familiar with Moodle, and which is our learning management system, and you will see the task description, the marking rubric I've developed for those who want to do exceptionally well. They'll know just what that means. I've included the actual business model canvas, a scan from the book that I recommend that you buy. I bought this back in 2010 when it first came out, 2010. So it's 8 years old. It's festooned with yellow post-it notes, and I found it very, very useful. So if you can buy a book secondhand that has all these markups, that may have more value than buying one which hasn't been marked up. But I just put that to you. Please do yourself a favour. Invest in your education. Invest in your success. And get that book by Osterwalder and Pinier called Business Model Generation. And also the one on the lean entrepreneur, because that it's hardly a textbook, but it is an excellent book to read. It's very easy to read. It integrates things in a very conversational style, and is particularly relevant to what we're doing in this subject called the big idea. So, the assessment task description. Let me go to that first, and it's downloaded, so I'm going to go into download. You'll see things here that you can see it's hopefully going to open up. All going well, it will. But if it doesn't, I have a copy in front of me, and I'm sure you can open one up as well. And it's about to open up. I learn patience every day when I when this sort of process happens. So here we go. All right. As you can see, this is an individual assignment. And what I'm asking you to do is deconstruct an organization's business model and identify the critical success factors that make it sustainable. Now, there are a number of business models around, and if you look at the week two lectures, I provided in the PowerPoint slides a couple of different business models or the canvases that others have developed. They are all fairly similar, okay? But the one I have much affinity to, because I like the simplicity of it, but also the sophistication of it, and that is the Osterwalder Pinure one, which I've actually scanned for you. But the book itself is a valuable purchase. So what I'm asking you to do is deconstruct. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to click on the, I'm going to go back one step, and I'm going to click on the canvas. And another opening up. And to make it easy for everybody, and Burhan, here's the business model canvas. Let's see if we can do a rotation. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. I don't think I've got the tool to do a rotation. No, okay. That's one of those snafus that happens. But what we have here are 9 building blocks. Let me read so that we can all see it. And I don't think I can rotate. Okay. So we've got customer segments. Who do you propose, who do you think in this organization that you've chosen and that you have spoken to your lecturer about and got their approval to do, who are their customers? And I'm wanting you to choose a business that's been around for maybe established in the last 5 years. All right, so why 5 years? Well, it means that they are still fairly close, probably to the first, certainly to the first group of clients, and they maybe have expanded their product or their service to additional client segments. So I want you to identify what those client segments are. Okay, and then in the sequence of activities, I think there's a lot of value in then going from the customer segment to look at the key partners that they've used to get their product or their service in a state that can actually deliver the value that they are proposing to do. So that's number 2 in terms of the analysis, I would suggest, in your process. Then you go to the 3rd, which is value proposition. What is it that you believe they are delivering to their customers? Now, a lot of this that you're doing is observational, and you know, you can read about what they're doing on the internet. You can visit a store or experience their service if you wish, but you don't have to interview the CEOs. You don't have to interview any of the employees. You can do this remotely from that. And so from the value proposition, you would then look at the key activities that they undertake to make that happen. Okay, so what do they do? And the key activities may well be flowing through into training, very, very specific training, or the type of person they're going to use as a customer interface. And from there, I'd go from key activities down to channels. Okay, this is how you get your product from you downstream to the client. Now, it may well be it's an online business, and you don't have many channel members that you have to use to get your product or service to them. Now, by reducing the length of the channel, it's something we call disintermediation. We are removing the number of intermediaries in the channel. Now, that's on the supply side, but we also need to think about the value chain as well, and how we ensure that every member of that channel is adding value rather than cost. And when I say cost, I'm not talking about the financial aspect. I'm talking about the irritation, the frustration, those things that emotionally disconnect our clients or disconnect their clients. Okay, so basically on the right-hand side from here, we are looking at the emotions, okay? And from here to the left, we're looking at effectiveness. Okay, so if you understand the right brain, left brain, essentially, it's very, you know, that is how it's been designed. I'm sure of it. But so we go from key activities to the channels, and we want to make sure that the channels are adding value, not creating damage or losing value. From there, we go to the revenue streams. And if you haven't had a chance yet to look at week 3 PowerPoint slides, you'll see in that, we're talking about design thinking and user experience and a couple of other models, you will find that the revenue streams, you may have heard the term freemium, which is, the first component is free, and then the second component is a premium you pay to get enhanced accessibility and functionality from an app. Well, that freemium model is discussed among other models in the design of a product or service. So have a look at that design thinking or that lean approach to entrepreneurship in week 3, because that'll just expand the thinking behind the business model that you are analysing. And so from the revenue streams, and there can be a variety of revenue streams, in the business model generation book, they talk about multi-sided business models. And a multi-sided business model is very much like a credit card company, that they need to have merchants who display their sign on the window outside a restaurant, for example, and they need to have customers who are carrying that particular credit card in their wallet or handbag. And so that's a multi-sided business model. It doesn't succeed without having both customers and vendors involved in that. So we move from the revenue stream through to the cost structure. Costs are different to value. Now, cost is what you incur to deliver specific aspects of your product or service. Now, the costs may be driven by the number of employees you have, by the infrastructure that you use, the technology infrastructure that you use. Costs could be driven by the channels. And, you know, the channels are actually adding cost at every point they are involved in a transaction with your client. We call that, in shorthand, it's a clip or a commission, and essentially it increases the cost of your product or service to the end user, or your, in fact, let's distinguish between end user and customer, to your end customer, because the end user may not actually have made the decision to buy your product. They may be an employee, just as I am an employee of Central Queensland University, or CQ University. I use a variety of software packages. I'm a user. CQ is a customer of the various platform providers. So think about the cost structure, and think about lean. Entrepreneurs, and I'm very familiar with this, we are very careful of how we spend money. And we want to make sure that for every dollar we spend, we're going to get a multiple return on that investment from the activities that that we undertake and the end the customer value and the price that they're prepared to pay. Okay, so think lean, think frugal, think we invest to a point where we prove up the demand, we prove up the viability of the business model. Now, I'm taking you further forward, but I want you to think about these in terms of deconstructing an organization's business model that you've identified to study. Okay, where are they at in terms of their development phase? Are they in the second phase, the third phase of their development? And then from cost structure, you go straight up to key resources. Well, if you understand what the cost structure is, what key resources must you have? And if it's a key resource that you can't afford, maybe your key partner can provide it. So you might end up joining with a competitor in what's called co-opetition. Okay, you decide like a number of universities have done to create open universities or open learning. And so they are part of that consortium. They don't compete with each other. They each put in their different products, different units, and together they make available to students who enroll to have a qualification. But there are a number of different models, and so think about that and, you know, read widely. And then from the key resources, we move up to the final thing, which is customer relationships. What customer relationships do we want to have? I mean, do we want to have, or does your client, for example, have a pretty much an automated relationship with you? In other words, when you buy a book online, that's very much automated, isn't it? There's no human interaction. You're interacting with very sophisticated artificial intelligence, and it even comes from your own prior access. They will suggest books that you might buy or what other books other people have bought because you're looking at the same book that they looked at and had bought. So alternatively, it may well be a customer relationship which is a bit like the banks and private banking, that because of net worth or assets or whatever the criteria are for them, they will ensure that any interactions you have with that bank will be directed to a particular account manager or premium banker. Okay, so they can offer more personalized service. At least that's the intention. I guess I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, or a bit of experience, because you still have to go through the telephone numbering, you know, press 9, press 1, press 3, whatever the case might be. All right. But anyway, it comes down to what is the relationship that the organization that you are looking at, what sort of relationship do they have with their clients? Now, this business model canvas, and again, I apologize for how it's appeared on the screen, but it is available to you on the website. That business model canvas will help you to unpack that task. So let's talk about the marking rubric. This is going to be online for our markers to use, your lecturers to use, and it's something I've developed. So let me have a look at the rubric. Upload it or download it in this case. And we'll wait patiently, and here it is. So let me make it a bit bigger. And as long as I haven't lost you, you will see that there are marking criteria on the left-hand side. Now, these are actually repeated in your task one, okay, and in the unit outline. But if you want to get a high distinction, for example, in the context, so here's the description of the context. You provide a succinct description. You've only got 1,500 words, so succinct description means that you might write a first draft of it, and then you reduce the duplication, you tighten up the sentence structure so that it becomes very succinct. And so you're describing, it is descriptive, you're describing the business, the industry in which it operates, the market or markets, customers it serves, and the product or services it provides. And so a high distinction is someone who has provided exemplary, being such a high example, a great example of this analysis. And you've described it in a way where your market really understands what you're talking about. And then you've described it using the business model canvas. Now, I'm strongly recommending that you use Osterwalder Pigneux. And so what you've done, and you can include as an appendix, you can include a bullet point summary of the aspects for each of those 9 building blocks. Okay, but in the business report itself, you're going to be describing those and identifying the interlinkages or the linkages that flow through. And so we're going to narrow down now, very focused on the key relationships that exist across those 9 building blocks. Not key relationships or customer relationships in the canvas, but the key relationships between the building blocks. I'm just going to, I'm just concerned that I may have lost people, but let me keep on going. The critical success factors. In your analysis, I want you to really identify what this business has to get right to succeed. And so if you've been a customer of this online company, for example, or whatever it might be, whatever company it might be, you will understand from your own experience and maybe discussion with others in your class, although you need to do this individually, an independent one, one which is not done by anybody else, just ask them, you know, why does this stand out, this particular business? And then I want you to understand and discuss and evaluate what is the downside risk for this business. Okay. Now, downside risk really is focusing in on, well, what are the risks that can go to the heart of the business and kill the business? That's downside risk. So the opposite of downside risk is upside potential. And in many ways, I'm asking you now to, in the recommended changes, what would you do to this business model to improve the business? And so you'll be looking at very specific aspects that you want to change. And so if you are seeking a high distinction, and mind you, and this is an assessment worth 30%, you can really put your heart into this and your critical thinking, your critical analysis, and dive into it deep now, because it is due on the 30th of March at the end of week 4. Okay. Now, please, I encourage you to ensure that you submit on time, because there is a late penalty. And please keep to the word limit. Now, 1,500 words is plus or minus 1,500 words. In other words, you can write 1,650 words and you won't receive a penalty. Part of the enforcement, the logic behind enforcing this, both of these, is that in business, if you're late presenting a report, the opportunity may have passed. The board may no longer be meeting. The opportunity with an investor may pass. They are looking at you through a number of lenses. And first thing is, are you reliable? Are you responsive? Do you deliver on what you say you're going to deliver? And then the other one is, you know, let's keep to the word limit, because people are time poor. They want something which is well drafted, well written, succinct, and speaks well about your critical thinking skills. All right, so you have that available to you. Now, I'm just going to try to get off out of this and they go back to the page. Now, I thought I saw a message come up, and I I'm just wondering if I can see the messages. Yeah, see if the message came through. No? I thought there was one. Okay. So let me pause for a moment. And Bahan, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask at this point?
No, as of now, no.
Okay, all right. I have uploaded, thank you, I have uploaded a 20-minute video which describes how to do a business model. Okay, so I really encourage you, and I'm going to go back to the page. I'm going to go back to the first part of this. I'm going to go to week two, and in week two, you'll see this link, Deeper Perspectives. This is a fabulous video to, or this one here. This is a fabulous video to watch. I think it's very well done. It's interesting, cuts to the heart of how to write a how to prepare a business model. And look, one thing about business models, as I've mentioned in week three, which is the work that you're going to cover this week, is that as you're preparing a business model, you're pushing into new territory, essentially. And so you won't have all the answers, but there will be companies that have part of the foundations that may give you an awareness of what might be need to be considered. Okay, so there might be existing alternatives. So in assessment one, because you're deconstructing another organization's business model, this video will still be a very great help to you. Okay. Now, in this recording, of course, I'm also speaking to the teaching team who have some wonderful skill sets and some great insights to share with everybody in their groups. So I encourage everybody to attend class and certainly to ask them plenty of questions, because I found that was always the best way to learn was to ask plenty of questions. I must have driven my lecturers nuts, but anyway, that's how I learned. So it's all good. The assignment is due on the 30th of March, which is a Friday, and it's due at 12 p.m. Okay, that's midnight. Now, in reality, I think the website is set for about 11:45, but don't worry about that. Just get it in by 12 o'clock, and then you can enjoy the weekend, all right? The other thing is that we will return this to you within 2 weeks. And if you look at the unit outline, there's quite a tight requirement on us as a teaching team to get this back to you, because your next assignment is the idea generation, okay? And you will need to have that ready and for submission by week eight. Okay, so you're going to submit by week four. You will have the results back with commentary by week six, and that gives you time to refine what you've already started to prepare in the workshops, and then get that right for submission by week eight. Okay. And while I'm on this sort of sequencing, that will come back to you by week 10, which will give you sufficient time to prepare your third assignment. Now, the third assignment is a group one. Okay. And that is due in week 12. So you can see there's a real rhythm here. Week four, back to your week six. Next one due week eight, back to your week 12, week 10. The last one due week 12. And then it's all done. And you'll have learned so much. And you may well be well prepared to launch into the further refinement of your business idea, the big idea, to then take it forward to seek some investment from those who may well be sharing the same interest with you. So look, that was a fairly relaxed way of running through task one. I'm going to do the same for task two and task three. And they're going to be running at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, Eastern Standard Time, which is Queensland time, 6 o'clock in daylight saving time. And I'll do the same again for the next two assignments. But please, if you have any questions, speak first to your lecturer. I'll encourage them to look at this recording as well. And so we're all on the same page as to what is required and how to do well. I mean, our job is to help you be the best you can be. And I think this is a fabulous unit to do. I just wish it had been available when I was a student. And I guess as a result of starting up a couple of businesses and working in multinationals and so on, because this is still relevant if you're an employee of a large organisation, this is still relevant to advancing your career. Because if you're putting up a proposal to your boss saying, I want to invest whatever sum of money it is, your business report that includes the business model canvas as an appendix is a very convincing proposal to pitch. It could well accelerate your career if you do it well. Okay. So look, any questions, Behan, that you might have, or if others who are listening in asynchronously ask your lecturer, and in turn they may ask me if they can't answer your question satisfactorily. Any questions? No? Well, thank you for joining me now, Behan, and for those others who will join at a later stage. I hope you enjoyed this recording. I hope you found it valuable. And from what I've discussed, you can see where the resources are. And so all the very best. I know you'll enjoy doing it. It's a bit of fun, but it's also got a serious side. It's prepping you for doing a wonderful job for assessment two and then for assessment three. Thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend and what's left of it. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.